You're on the front porch. This week, we're talking about the continuing teacher strike, a.k.a. work stoppage, a.k.a. the little dust-up between educators and the governor and the legislature. What will happen next? Support for the Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette-Mail, using its CGM app to deliver the latest news, including what's going on with this teacher strike. I'm Scott Finn, Grand Poobah here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting, joined as always by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Jesse Troyan, she's the development director and a PhD economist at the Cardinal Institute, which is a free market think tank here in Charleston.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
First of all, wow, what a week. There was a deal announced by the governor. Teachers would get a 5% pay increase and they'd go back to work. Of course, that just hasn't happened. Here we are, and teachers are still out. Rick, are you surprised by that?
It's been kind of a roller coaster of a week. I think one thing that's happened is the deal that was announced, that the governor announced, and the organizations, you know, they're not the only parties to it, you know, and it has to get through the House and the Senate. And, you know, people wanted to make sure there really would be a strong PEI task force. You know, so some of the Senate still hasn't happened as of this recording. So
this is a lot about trust and a lack of trust between the teachers and the school employees and legislative leaders. There's a question about whether the governor maybe got out ahead a little bit of the deal when he announced it and then went off to coach his girls basketball team. And then finally, the union leaders, you know, the head of the WVEA and the AFT, Dale Lee at the WVEA, he got booed and shouted down by his own members when he came out to announce this so-called deal. One of my questions is, did the union leaders fail to get the support of their membership? I mean, did they kind of get ahead of them and then that's why we're still on strike? What's going on?
This is an uprising. This isn't a normal thing. I said last week that labor bosses are not in control of that. I think that's a straw man. This grew out of real outrage in 55 counties of the state. Otherwise, you wouldn't have 55 strong. So, and I don't think that's unusual in the history of people's movements.
I don't know how it happened, and I want to try to be fair to Dale Lee and to Christine Campbell, the two union leaders who negotiated that thing with Justice. One of my questions is, did Justice, when he did that press conference, get ahead of the union leaders by announcing that there's a deal made?
There's not a mechanism to communicate and to vote on this since we don't have collective bargaining here, so people are having to improvise as they go.
I would say, though, that I think everyone agrees. I'm hearing this from the teachers and school employees. They really felt like there should have been no announcement of a deal made until they had a chance to talk about it, and they didn't. There was a conversation that afternoon, and then immediately there's this announcement, and all of a sudden they're all supposed to go back to school. And now they're seeing the consequences of not going back to the grassroots first before a deal is announced.
Or and they should have made sure that all the parties were part of the deal. There should have been legislative agreement. Hat tip to Tim Armstead and the Republicans in the House. This is not, they are pro-labor Republicans.
We are talking about this because there was a deal that was struck and Governor Justice found a whole bunch of extra money. He basically changed the revenue estimates to find more money to come up with higher raises for teachers.
I would love to know this magic formula that Jim Justice has that's able to pull $60 million out of thin air, or so it seems. And I'm sure I'm not alone wondering, A, where'd he find that? And B, how can all the rest of us get in on some of that action? But by and large, I would say that the Senate's hesitation last night to move forward with the bill, despite the House almost unanimously passing the bill, I think it's a well-founded skepticism of, are we playing fast and loose with the numbers here? Is this a bunch of smoke and mirrors? And if these revenues don't come in, what does that mean for us next year? Are we looking at 2017 and a $500 million budget hole version 2.0?
Okay, so now what? and what's interesting to me is I think this is just a sign of the decline of institutions in general in American life and the power of institutions to influence people. Yes, Rick, you're right. This was a very organic movement of teachers and school employees and others rising up together and saying enough, right? Especially around our health insurance, enough with these increases. They got people's attention. One of the biggest criticisms I've heard from lawmakers is, what do they want? And who is they? You know, who speaks for they? How can you negotiate with a group of tens of thousands of employees? And so what comes next?
I mean, I've heard some people within the movement say it would have been good to have had a clear you know, ask from the beginning, although I think there's some strategy there. There's some historical perspective that might be interesting and useful here. One is, like, this is a basic theory of nonviolent social change. It's the idea that power is not a monolith that's controlled by people at the top flowing downward, that all power everywhere depends on the cooperation of people. And without that cooperation, even the most powerful tyrant, the richest person, would have nothing. And this is an example of a lot of people simply withdrawing their cooperation in the form of labor.
What about a potential backlash? Is there a point at which, you know, you might have all these people at the Capitol, but then I see on social media, you read the Reader's Voice in the Charleston Gazette Mail, there are a lot of people that this is making very angry.
I think there are a lot of voices that definitely aren't being heard in this, and this is going to be the parents, the students. You know, here's one that a lot of people might not be thinking about. Today is the deadline to file for the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid, which is part of what high school seniors need to be applying for the Promise Scholarship. You're looking at kids right now that what's going on could be the difference of whether they go to college or not.
You know, I have a son with autism, and he likes things to be the same every day. And he's just kind of getting the concept of snow day, right? When it snows a lot outside, sometimes I don't have to go to school. But he totally does not get. This morning, he woke up and he went downstairs and he got his backpack on and his coat and he wanted to go to school. That's his sign. And I had to try to explain to him that, no, there's no school today, even though it's not a snow day. And look, you know, my brother's a teacher. Two of my sisters were teachers. I was a teacher. At some point, even my sympathy starts to wear out, Rick. I mean,
that's a shock, Scott.
Well, easy for you to say. Your kids are grown. Where's your sacrifice?
I've had my grandson with me and stuff. There's a huge amount of kids who are in support of this, a whole bunch of parents, a lot of businesses. If you would have gone to the Capitol, you would have seen coal miners come out. You would have seen building trades workers, people from the healthcare field across the board. I mean, this is a big deal. So
my question is this a turning point for Democrats and unions, or is it sort of a last gasp of what's left of that coalition?
I think a lot of people have awakened politically and to policy and to legislative issues for the first time. And you can hear that when you talk to people. I mean, it's the kind of thing it's easy not to pay attention to until it really affects you. So I'm hoping that the people who have awakened stay awake through this.
I'm inclined to say that it's the last gasp. Union membership rates, both in the private and the public sectors, have been declining for at least the last 10 years, little by little. There's currently the Janus versus AFSCME court case. Arguments were heard by the Supreme Court on Monday regarding public sector union issues. Compile that with the different states passing right-to-work legislation. I'm inclined to say that the signs are here that this isn't a revival. This is kind of a last gasp.
I think it's clear that political power is in the hands of people who are hostile to the interests of working people in the state, and it's on. And so, yeah, I wouldn't exactly write it off.
Both of you, the other big issue that's come up is about leadership. And I found it interesting in today's Charleston Gazette Mail, there's an editorial page on the left and an editorial page on the right, and both of them simultaneously criticized Governor Justice for what they called his lack of leadership in this. What do you say to that?
It's clear to me, at least it seems, that there's no teamwork. You know, it was great when Justice is talking about, oh, you know, I'd be honored if you call me coach or something like that during his State of the State address, but just the way things are unfolding, I'm not seeing any indication that there's a whole lot of consistency, communication, coherence across these legislating bodies.
Rick, how does this compare to Governor Caperton's role back at the last teacher strike in 1990?
During the last teacher strike, I mean, Caperton was pretty hostile to it. But in the end, you know, they actually convened a working group. They got together and they came up with some pretty good solutions. So, and they'll say this for Justice, say what you want. He does respond to public opinions. I mean, sometimes it may seem erratic, but I mean, there is someone there with a heart, not just a cash register. So I'll say that. I think the pressure's on the Senate is where the choke point is on this. And also, there are more sustainable ways of doing this economically, but they've been blocked politically so far.
Let me ask you this one, because this was an interesting development. A lot of the teachers and school employees said specifically that they were happy with the 5% proposal, that they still want to fix PEIA, but they didn't even think that the Senate and the leadership of the state Senate would pass the 5%, and they didn't trust them.
That's still a matter. It still may not happen. I mean, the Senate is extremely hostile, this leadership, to teachers right now.
So last question for both of you. What's going to happen? How do we get out of this? Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Sure.
My prediction is that they tried to declare victory, and, you know, that could have been the easy out. If that was going to happen, that should have happened already. And it didn't. So I think we're in it for a while. Definitely the teachers don't want to go back to work until they see bills passed and signed. They're not going to trust anything till it's law. And that could take a while. That might not be by the end of the regular session, which, by the way, ends in about a week from now. It might be longer. So that's my prediction. We might be back in a special session. This could be a couple of weeks or longer. How many days was the teacher strike back in 1990, Rick?
I think it was 11, something like that.
With the way that the cancellations kind of trickled in last night, and with Jefferson County being after 10 p.m. closing last night, I think there is going to be some kind of regional fracturing of this 55 United movement. I have a feeling this is going to get uglier and nastier before it gets resolved.
I'm hopeful that people stay strong and stay together in this. There is a lack of trust. I'd like to see it resolved quickly. I think some of the things they've already won are huge, including pulling some negative bills, including a raise, including, I mean, I think people, it's amazing how much progress people have done so far. And I think teachers have taught a lesson. They've shown that ordinary people can rise up and make their voices heard. So, you know, I'm hopeful for a quick and just solution. I'm not sure I'm predicting it. And I have a quote from Frederick Douglass, who said that power concedes nothing without a struggle. It never has, and it never will. It's Frederick Douglass 2 weeks in a row, dear.
I just keep going back to, I heard this from one of the teachers today on the air, it was, we won't back down. I mean, and they won't. And that's The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Grand Poobah, West Virginia Public Broadcasting, along with Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee and Jesse Troyan from the Free Market Cardinal Institute. Thanks for listening.